It's really great to be here. We did have a great day yesterday. It was lovely to see so many children's leaders come together. And I'm going to talk a little bit about children today, because there's an old African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I want to say it takes a church to raise a child. And you may not have children, or you may have had children, your children are grown, maybe your grandparents, but actually you're part of this church family. And therefore, you've got children, whether you like it or not. And some of you might not like it so much, okay? But I want to pick up some of the things that Jesus said about children and apply it to our lives. Because not just about... I don't want to just give you facts about children. I want to tell you some stories. I want to encourage you about what God's doing. But I also want to help us to look at our own lives and say, where are we at? How are we like children? How do we need to be like children? So if you were here yesterday, I apologise in advance. You're going to see some of the little videos that I showed yesterday again. I hope that'll be all right. The rest of the material is different, so I'm not going to bore you to tears if you were here yesterday. But, you know, just to put this in context, in 1900 it was reckoned that 55% of children in this country had a meaningful connection with church. 55%. In the year 2000 it reckoned this had decreased to 4%, and by 2015 only 1% of children in this nation have a meaningful connection with church. That's quite shocking, isn't it? Okay, it's really sad. And there's a quote that I read some time ago, and it said this: tomorrow's children are still tomorrow's leaders. And we should be asking ourselves, what are our strategies for growing the leadership that we will need to lead our churches in 2040? Okay, there's many churches in this country where they don't have any children at all in their churches. Okay, that the future looks a little bleak, doesn't it, for those churches? But God really, he's got his hand on children. There's all kinds of stuff happening all around the world. And I believe this is a time when he's like got his spotlight, his magnifying glass, if you like, on children. And it's great to hear some of the things that's happening through this church. There we go. So I've entitled this, Unless You Become Like Children. As I said, I'm going to share stories about children to just help us think about our own lives. But Jesus had quite a lot to say about children, because the disciples came to him one day. Let's read it from here. And Jesus took a child. People were asking, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus took a child and he said, let me read it. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Every time you welcome a child into this church, it's like welcoming Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thought? But the thing I want to really concentrate on this morning is, it says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What on earth did Jesus mean there? I mean, we see children and sometimes we see their behaviour that is not as good as we'd like to see it. Anybody see any of that? Okay. Because you see, they don't hide their sin. Okay, if they're sitting next to somebody they don't like, you know what happens quite soon? They're elbowing, kicking, you know, all sorts of stuff. Okay, you sit next to somebody you're not very keen on and you behave yourselves. Except your mind is going around, oh, I wish I'd got up earlier this morning so I could have got here and got a different seat. I'm just suggesting that might be the case. Okay, well, we've learnt to hide our sin, the kids haven't. It's no different. So obviously, there's some things about children that we don't want to be like. okay? Because I don't want any punch-ups this morning, okay, between you, okay? So I'm sure you're going to behave yourself. Okay, but Jesus was saying here that there are some characteristics of children that actually it's worth emulating. It's worth copying because there's something about children and their relationship with him and their place in the kingdom of God that we need to copy. And so I was thinking about this and I actually thought about what children are like in the natural. And as I came up with some of the things that they're like in the natural, it actually came to me that very, very much that these characteristics in the natural are like what we need to be like in the spiritual. So I'm just going to share some of those and share some stories. I'm going to share some of the things that I've seen happen with kids, just to encourage you. But I'm also going to share some of the things where I haven't done very well, okay? Because we don't always get it right, so we'll see as we go through. So first of all, I want to say, I love this little picture. Okay, so first of all, children know they need help. And we've already just, portrayed this in our stuff for the children. The Holy Spirit's described as a helper. In John 14:16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Children need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We've already said that. They need to encounter God. That was the prayer, not just be educated about him. And I pray that if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you're helping your children that you have contact with have those encounters. But, you know, we also need a relationship with the Holy Spirit where we're constantly calling out to him for help. Now, I gave you some scenarios when I was going through this that I was kind of making up as I went along. But, you know, we really do need to live in dependence on the Holy Spirit. God wants us to live in that place of dependence. And I want to simply ask a question this morning. How much of what we do personally or corporately as a church could happen whether the Holy Spirit was here or not? Ooh, you know, that hits me hard. You see, I know I could have hundreds of children in a tent or in a building, and I could run a pretty good children's meeting. We could have fun, I could do good teaching, we could do good singing, we could do all the right things, and the kids would have a great time. Because I've got a lot of experience. I can rely on my own experience to do that. But actually, that's not what I want. You see, the thing that distinguishes us from anybody else as Christians is we have the presence of God with us wherever we go. So, he wants us to be in that place where actually we're stepping out into things, doing things that unless God shows up, if I can put it like that, we're in trouble. So, some of you will have heard, I'm sure, of a missionary called Heidi Baker. People heard of her? What she does in Mozambique is she goes into a village and she says, "Bring me your deaf, tonight they will go away hearing." Now she can't heal any of them. If God doesn't show up, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come and help her, who knows, she's in big trouble. Nothing's going to happen, yes? But guess what happens? In almost every case, the deaf go away hearing, and the whole village becomes Christians because of it. I'm not sure I've got the faith to believe that would happen if I did it. I'm not sure I'm there yet. Because I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit, but to what extent? And, you know, Jesus said he could do nothing except what he saw his Father doing. How dependent on the Holy Spirit are we? How prepared are we to step into areas, to do things that unless the Holy Spirit helps us, we're not going to make it? You've gone awfully quiet in here. okay? You see, children know they need help. They ask for help. Sometimes they don't want your help because they want to do it themselves. But most times, particularly the little ones, they'll take your help. How much do we rely on our own abilities rather than be dependent on the Holy Spirit? It's just a question. How like children are we in that we're open to help? This is what Jesus said to his disciples. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Help's there for the taking. But do we always ask for it? Children also believe what they're told. So I normally start my meetings by saying, I've got some really good news for you. God's here and he can do anything. So, God's here and he can do anything right now. The thing is, the children believe it. Okay. But what about us? Okay, we believe it in our heads. We believe it somewhere. Okay, but when the rubber hits the road, do we really believe it, that God can do absolutely anything? We do, I would like to suggest, but we don't. Anybody with me? Okay. So, Jesus said, nothing is impossible for those who believe. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, except... It's normally where I'm at. Okay, I'm being honest with you. So children believe that if they pray for someone who's sick, that as soon as they finish the prayer, they normally say, are you better yet? They expect that immediate reaction, that when they pray, then somebody's going to get better. And I can remember 3 or 4 years back now, I went to an event called Awakening Europe. It wasn't in Sweden, it was in Nuremberg, the very first one. Linda was in Stockholm, at Awakening Europe. And we had children from 13 different nations across Europe in the meetings. And this Croatian girl, she was 12 years old, and she heard God say, when the children's meeting's finished, I want you to go into the stadium. And it was in a massive stadium. It was actually the stadium where Hitler trained all his young soldiers. He used to have rallies with his soldiers, in the war. And they purposely chose that stadium because they wanted to kind of redeem the situation there. And there was thousands of people there. And God said to this Croatian girl, when the meeting's finished, I want you to go into the stadium. I want you to find somebody in a wheelchair and pray for them. I'm going to heal them. So, what would have been your reaction if you'd thought you heard that? I might have thought, no, I think I'm making that up. Okay, if I'm really honest. No, at the end of the meeting, she goes into the stadium. She finds her parents. They'd obviously set up a place to meet. She finds the first person she can see in a wheelchair and goes up and asks if she can pray for them. And she prays for a while, and guess what? The person gets out of their wheelchair and starts walking. Hadn't walked for 12 years. That's what happened. We told her that nothing was impossible. So guess what? She believed it. And Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't experience the kind of things that you will experience in the kingdom. As kids get older, they often need to see something demonstrated before they're going to believe it, the younger the kids. But I want to see kids, actually, who once they get to teenage years, they've seen God do so much that they don't have any doubts. It's just like part of who they are, part of their DNA. But often the older kids, the teenagers, they're kind of working it all out for themselves and they want to see something demonstrated. And it's very interesting that in 1 Kings 17, when the lady's son had died and then he came back to life when Elijah prayed, she said, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of God from your mouth is the truth. She saw something and then she believed. That's where we are most of the time, isn't it? We need to see it before we believe it. And sometimes that's the case for teenagers too. I'll tell you a little story. I've told this story many times. It's one of Chris's favourites. She's smiling already. Because it doesn't put me in a very good light, to be honest. I got a phone call one day, and it was somebody who I knew relatively well, and they said, we're doing a family camp, and it was like 2 weeks away, and we've been praying, and we feel you're the person to lead the teenagers. And I said, I don't do teenagers. I do kids under 11. And they said, but we prayed, and we felt God say, you should be the one. So I said, no, you got it wrong. Goodbye. A week later, the same guy phones me. And he says, you know, we've been praying more and you're the one. And I'm thinking, I'm probably not the one that God gave them. I'm the only one they know who might say yes at a 1 week's notice. I said, I don't work with teenagers. I work with young kids. So he said, but we are sure you're the one. Anyway, a couple of days later, he phones back. And now there's only a few days before the camp. They're obviously desperate. You're absolutely the right one, they said. So I caved in and said, OK, I'll come. So it was a week-long camp. I was going to have these teenagers, two meetings a day, starting on Saturday evening, two meetings a day for the rest of the week. So I get there. I've got about 16 kids between 11 and 16 or 17, and they are not interested in a single thing I've got to tell them. I thought I'd got a pretty good program together, considering I'd only had a few days. And we start the first night, and it's absolutely terrible. You know, they're sitting there kind of like chatting to one another. They were just not interested in anything, and I'm thinking, oh no, I've got hours. I was counting how many hours I had to spend with them for the week, thinking I should never have caved in and said yes, I don't do teenagers. And anyway, the Sunday morning comes and my heart's in my boots, you know, kind of thing. I think, oh, I've got to go through this again. So we have another terrible meeting. Each one of these meetings is like 2 to 3 hours long. I mean, it was awful. It was torture, to be honest. It was absolutely terrible. So anyway, I get through that, and I get to the Sunday, and I'm thinking, this is so bad. Something has got to change, or I just can't go on. I can't bear to think of another 10 meetings after this. Anyway, it's exactly the same. They're not interested. They're talking amongst themselves. They're not really listening, not interested in anything. So I get up on Monday morning, and I've got a plan by now. I'm thinking, if something doesn't change this morning, I am going to the organiser, who kept calling me, saying, you made a mistake, I'm out of here. Okay, I've never left in the middle of something before, but I'm out of here, I can't do this. So, same thing, not interested. And then in the middle of the meeting, I hear someone say, don't you realise God's here and he can do anything? And then I realise it's me that said it. And I'm like, oh no, oh, I'm in trouble now. So this girl holds up her hand and she says, I've got this wart on my finger. Can he make that go? And I'm thinking, oh no. Because my experience had been this. When I pray for anybody who was sick, they got worse, went to the doctors or went to the hospital. When you work with kids, you pray for lots of pet cats and dogs and even goldfish and sorts of things like that, hamsters, and they all died. And then I have to answer the question, are they going to be in heaven or not? Well, this is quite a difficult one. So I'm like, so this girl's saying, she's like almost taunting God and taunting me. So can he make this go then? And I hear somebody say, yes, of course he can. He can do anything. And it's me. You see, you're laughing. It's funny now, but it was horrible at the time. And in my head, I'm thinking, right, okay, I'm out of here after this meeting. This is just awful. So I said to the kid, the young people, why don't you come to the front and watch what happens? I'm like, this is absolutely stupid. I can't believe that, you know, and I'm just, I'm not praying. I'm not saying anything to God. I'm just dying inside. Okay, now Now, would any of you have been like me? Yeah. Probably. Okay, so you're laughing because you know exactly how it feels, you see. So this girl comes out, she stands in the middle, and I'm thinking, right, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to pray for a long time because that uses up more time until I can get rid of them. So, of course, they haven't got their eyes closed. They're all watching, you know, because after all, I told them God could do anything. So I start praying. And I'm kind of going all around the houses. You know those prayers where you're not really getting to the point, but you're just trying to use up time? No, you don't ever pray prayers like that, do you? Okay, and then this one boy, his name was Mark, he starts nudging me. He said, Heather, why don't you open your eyes? He was the one boy that was kind of tepid. That's all I can say towards the things of God, tepid, you know. And I opened my eyes, and before our eyes, this walk disappeared. And I'm like, I can't believe it. I'm like, no, surely this walk couldn't have disappeared. I mean, this is impossible. But God could do anything. And it was like the kids were just blown away, of course. It was like a mini revival then. Okay, they couldn't wait to get to the meetings, and I couldn't wait to get to the meetings. And we finished on the Friday night. They were all leaving on Saturday. They said to me, these are teenagers. If we get up early in the morning, teenagers don't do early in the morning, do they? Can we have an extra meeting before we leave? And it was just, they saw God do something because I'd actually made a declaration that I didn't believe. That's quite interesting. I'll leave you to think about that. And as a result, they had an encounter with God that was different. It changed their lives forever, really. The next year, they phoned me up, the same guy, and said, we'd like to ask you to lead the children this year. I said, forget it. Give me back those teenagers. Oh, I'm not starting all over again. Give me the teenagers back. Okay, I share all this because, you know, we're all the same, aren't we? We say we believe it. Children do, and we've got something to learn from them. They have the faith like we don't. And here they are, praying for the sick. Okay, this is a picture of a lot of people at a crusade, an evangelistic crusade in Argentina. And it's just been a privilege to go there and see thousands of people every night come together to hear the gospel. And at the end, hundreds, if not thousands, run to the front to become Christians. So I hope you're ready for the 25,000 in Truro to be running to Truro Baptist Church next Sunday or whenever. But this is what happens there. But we've had the privilege of actually doing some early evening kind of kids and youth meetings before the main crusade meeting happens. And one night we were there early, and here's a few more pictures. This is the response time when they're all at the front wanting to become Christians. Anyway, one evening we got there early, and this guy said, could he ask me a question? So I said, sure, you can ask me a question. So he said, so I want to know, can God heal people? So I said, yes. Can God help relationship problems? I said, yes. Can God help with financial problems? He went through this whole list of things, and every time he said, can God do this? I said, yes. And inside I was thinking, oh no. In a minute, he's going to ask me to pray for all those things. Okay, you with me? You know, you're saying, yes, he can. And I was thinking, oh, no, I hope somebody who's got a bit more faith prays for him and not me. Anyway, in the end, he says, oh, that's why I've come. He wasn't a Christian. I've come because I need help with all of these things. And fortunately, he didn't ask me to pray for him. Even though I'd actually said, yes, God can do this, I still didn't have the faith to believe, to go for it. And there he is. Out of all these thousands, God had my focus on him all night somehow. It was like a reminder. You said I could do all these things, God was saying to me, but actually you didn't believe it enough to pray for him. And he did end up getting prayer, thankfully. But how often are we like that? That we say we believe, but we don't. But kids are actually not like that. So I've got to move on quickly because I've got 6 more points, but don't worry, I'm not going to take as long over all the other points. Okay, children believe they're born for greatness. They have dreams of being Superman or princess. Sky's the limit for them. Most of them don't wake up in the morning and think, I'm really desperate to be a dustman or a postman. Not that there's anything wrong with being a dustman or a postman, but you know what I mean. They want to be a princess or they want to be Superman. I read an article recently where they were advertising at Cambridge University for a professor of play with expertise in Lego. And this, like, 10-year-old boy applies for this position. You know, because he's an expert, he's an autistic boy, he's an expert in Lego, so he thinks he should be able to do this job. But, you know, they think they've got, they believe they've got power, they've got the ability to do anything. I wonder if we are the same. Have a look at this video. That little boy believed he could do anything. You know, he got a bit discouraged when it didn't quite work. But what he found out in the end was he had a dad who was ready to press the switch and actually share the power that he'd got through the car thing, you know. But actually, you know, my question to us is this morning is, do we believe we can do amazing things with God? Do we have dreams of what God wants us to do? Because we have a Father in heaven who's waiting to press the button and share the power with us to do incredible things. Are we ready for that? Or are we discouraged like the little boy was when nothing seemed to work? Or do we keep growing? Healthy children are always hungry. If you've had children, you know what it's like when they come home from school. They're straight in the fridge or in the cupboard. They want food, okay? And it's a sign of health. And my question this morning to us is, are we like them in a spiritual sense? Are we hungry for more? We already talked about that a little bit. But are we people that are desperate to actually receive more of God and see more of his glory? Moses, I think, could have been called Mr. Greedy. Yeah, he had some amazing experiences, Moses, didn't he? You know, he gets out of it. He sees all the plagues. He gets out of Egypt, you know, on dry ground through the Red Sea. They have a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. They get water out of a rock. Manna appears every day. No more shopping. Some of you guys would be very happy with that, I'm sure. And he sees all of this, and you get to Exodus 33, and he's saying to God, show me your glory. Well, I kind of like, he'd seen a lot already. I mean, what more can you see? I'd be quite happy if I'd seen all of those things. But here's Moses. He's Mr. Greedy personified. I want to see more. I want to see more. And God wants us to experience more of him and see him do more constantly. How hungry are we? How are we working to maintain our hunger? One of the things for me is I love to hear testimonies of what God's doing, because that inspires me to want more. I love to hang around with people that God's using, because then you hear the stories and it kind of inspires you to go for more. How hungry are you? Okay, children are adventurous. I like this quote. I like adventures and I'm going to find some. Now, how about you? How about me? Do we like adventures? Or are we nice and comfortable and settled with our lives? You know, kids are willing to do kind of way out there things. So I had a group of kids in my car once. I told them God could do anything. So they're up for some adventures. So we're driving past the cemetery. You've got it. Guess what they want to do? Go in and pray for the dead to be raised. Do you know what I did? I said, I'm sorry, we haven't got time for that today. I regret that to this day. I just wonder what would have happened if I'd followed their adventurous spirit, as it were, and gone into the cemetery. I have no idea. But God can do anything, can't he? You can't walk on water if you don't get out of the boat. And, you know, Peter was the only one who had a testimony of walking on water. Now, he might have sunk, but and can you imagine all the other disciples teasing him? Oh, you didn't do very well, did you? You didn't walk on very far on the water. You had to be rescued by Jesus. But I can just hear Peter saying, yeah, but I did it, you guys. You didn't. You stayed in the boat. You haven't got that testimony. And I believe that God wants to build in us an adventurous spirit. I'll just share the story that I shared yesterday, but we do something with our kids called Listen and Go, where they have to get clues from God, they hear God, about where they should go, who they should find, and why they should pray for somebody. So this group of kids, they're 8 to 10-year-olds, they hear God say, go to a certain place, look for a man dressed in a certain way. I can't remember all the details now. He's been to all these different places this morning. They write all this down on a piece of paper. And then one little girl says, oh, and I get the words new planet. And the leader thinks, new planet? That's a bit of a weird clue. Anyway, they go off to the place where God had told them. They find the guy dressed in exactly the clothes that God had said. And the leader says to him, have you been anywhere else this morning? And he lists out all the places that he'd been, exactly the same as the list they'd got written down. God had spoken to them in this way. And then the leader's like, oh, I suppose I'm going to have to say something about the new planet thing. You know, he was hoping he might have a T-shirt or something on that said new planet, but he didn't. The leader says, does new planet mean anything to you? And this guy kind of goes quiet for a moment, looks a bit shocked, and he said, I work in the IT department of a university supporting astrophysicists who are looking for new planets. Is that amazing? So that had to be him that had to get the prayer. I'm sure there was nobody else around who did that job. These were 8 to 10-year-old kids hearing God, going on an adventure to find people to pray for. How adventurous are you? When was the last time you did something new, something that required you to trust God more? Children, don't easily take no for an answer. You know this if you've got children. They play the two parents off against one another. They do everything. They're not going to take no for an answer. That has a good sense as well in a spiritual way. Have a little listen to this.
My name is Emmanuel and I'm 9 years old. Last faith camp I had an amazing experience when God told me to start a Christian club at my school. The first time I asked my deputy head teacher, she said we didn't have enough parent helpers. But we kept on persisting and trying and eventually we got through and she said we could start the Christian club. First, we didn't have that many people. We had like 15, but as the more we did it, more people came, and gradually we had to start turning people away because there were too many people at the club. After that, my friends started asking me why I was a Christian, and I told them, and they asked to become Christians too. So I prayed for them, and they all and God helped me lead them to the Lord.
He told us he led 17 of his friends to the Lord. But he persisted. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. He was going to go for it. What about us? Do we keep going? Do we keep praying? Or are we derailed by disappointment? Disillusionment? We need to be people that don't take no for an answer. Very quickly, they're teachable. Every moment is a teachable moment. And I want to encourage you to be people that are teachable. When was the last time you took time to learn a new skill in the kingdom even? We need to be teachable. And we train our kids, if they've got a heart to preach, for instance, we train them to preach and they learn quickly. And I'm going to just play because of time, just a little one, not this one. I've got to go that way. Oh, too much. Okay, I'm going to play you. This is a boy called Callum. He had 3 30-minute sessions of training, teaching, and then he preached this sermon to about 1,500 people. Okay, let's have a listen to him.
Hello, put your hand up if you've ever been fishing before. Quite a lot of you. Now keep your hand up if you've got a really good expensive fishing rod. Few. Put your hand up in the air if your rod costs less than £3. I thought nobody would be on your side. Mine did, because my dad's a cheapskate and he needs delivering from this. I went fishing for the first time this summer, and I've got a really cheap rod. It cost $2.99 from Wilkinson's. Very first time I went fishing, I caught a fish. It was this big. Well, this big. Well, actually, this big. So it was pretty impressive for a first go. In John chapter 21, we learn that Peter, also known as Simon Peter, had been fishing all night on the Sea of Galilee, and he was really tired. Unlike me, they'd caught nothing and were feeling mega fed up. They saw a man standing on the beach. It was Jesus, resurrected, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus told them to put their net over the right side of the boat. And do you know what happened? It was amazing. The net was full of fish. It was incredible. It was so full of fish that Peter couldn't pull the net onto the boat. James then recognized the man on the beach. It was Jesus. And he told Peter. Then Peter dived into the sea and swam to Jesus. So what can we learn from this? Is it always take Jesus with you when you go fishing? Is it, do as Jesus says and you'll catch enough fish to sell to Bird's Eye and make a fortune? Well, it could be both these things to learn. What I believe God is teaching here is that he really loves us. God has so much love for us that, like the net overflowing with fish, we can't pull it all in one go. We have to keep pulling in God's love and keep on pulling in God's love. It will never run out. And we need to share God's love with everyone. Oh, and eat your fish. It's full of omega-3 and good for you. Thank you for listening.
They're teachable. They're prepared to learn new skills. They're prepared to go for things that they haven't tried before. What about us? There's a world to win out there. And God wants to use us in all kinds of ways. Maybe in ways that we're not used to. We don't know. We might have to learn something. We might have to practice. We might have to step out. How like children are we in that? And then my last point. Children are very good at copying. And children will copy good and bad. They need some heroes to emulate. They need some older people in the church that they can look at and say, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's an incredible statement. I said this last night. It's an incredible statement. Imitate me, copy me as I copy Christ. I wonder if any of us could say to people that we meet, copy me as I copy Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. We need to lead the way by example. How well are we doing? These are just some of the characteristics of children in the natural and in the spiritual. All about us. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say, unless you become childish. He said, unless you can become like a child. And I believe these are some of the characteristics that actually he'd want us to be like. He goes on in that Matthew 18 passage and he says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, and that word believe, I said yesterday, actually means savingly believe. It's the same word as is used about the Philippian jailer in Acts when Paul and Silas lead him to the Lord. One of these, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. A millstone weighed about 700 kilos. Not a great thing to have hung around your neck. So keep calm. It's over to you. Okay, you've got children in this church. There's children in this region, in this area, in this town, who I believe God wants you to influence. I believe they're their children who you need to be able to say to, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But in order to do that, we need to be in a good place ourselves. We need to be in a place where the things that I've shared today are true in our lives. So I want you just to have a little think. I'm going to list the things that I've shared, the points I had about what children are like in the natural. And I want us, each one of us to actually ask the question and be honest before God this morning and say, is this true of me? Do I need to repent almost? That means to change your mind and go in a different direction. Are there things where I'm not doing so well? I mean, if I had to give myself a mark out of 10 for all of those, I wouldn't score very highly on some of them. How about you? And God wants us to go up a step, if you like, go to a different place so that we can be saying to people, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so that we can live a life where we're bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth, the things that are true in heaven on the earth, where we are seeing people's lives transformed, where we are seeing the sick healed and those that need freedom come to a place of freedom. So why don't we just be quiet? Why don't you close your eyes so there's no distractions? And I'm just going to list these things out. You see, you can't give away what you don't have yourself. And when revival comes and people are knocking on the door saying, what can I do to be saved? And you've got all these people coming to your church who have not grown up in church and don't know anything about church, then you're all going to be leaders. Some of you think, oh no. You're all going to be leaders because you're all going to know more than they know. You're all going to have more experience than they have. So we need to get ourselves ready. So as I list these things, why don't you actually listen to the list to start off with, but then actually take a moment to just talk to God about where you're at. You might want to choose one or two where you feel like you particularly are not doing so well. The good news is there's no condemnation in the kingdom. There's only encouragement to come higher by God, come nearer, come closer, receive more. So children know they need help. The younger they are, the more dependent they are. How dependent are you on the Holy Spirit? Children believe what they're told. They believe that nothing is impossible for God. What about us? Children believe they were born for greatness. They want to do great things for God. They want to do great things. They want to be a princess. They want to be Superman. God's got great things for us. Do we believe it? Just on that point, I just feel like God would say to some of you, you've tried things and you've failed in them. They've been a failure. And it's kind of made you reluctant to try anything else. You thought you were going to do a great thing for God and then it didn't work out. And God says to you this morning, it's time to draw a line in the sand and say, that was then, but this is now. Children are always hungry physically. God wants us to be always hungry spiritually, going after him for more and more. More of his love and power. More for ourselves, but more to give away as well. How hungry are you? What about an adventurous spirit? How adventurous are you? Or have you kind of settled? You're quite comfortable, don't really want to push the boat out, as it were, and do anything that might cause you to have to rely on God more. God needs pioneers in these days. How easily do you take no for an answer? Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time and the answer hasn't come through yet and you kind of just given up. Maybe you need healing and you've been prayed for forever and nothing's happened yet. Have you given up? God would say this morning, don't take no for an answer. How teachable are you? And how good are you at copying? How good are you at being like Jesus in order that you can say, copy me, imitate me as I imitate Christ? Let's take a moment to speak to God yourself. You might need to repent. You might need to say sorry. You might need to say, I'm drawing the line in the sand. I want to start again, as it were. Father, I want to thank you that you know all about us. You know the things that we've succeeded in. You know the things where we've had failures. You know the things that we find difficult. You know the things we find easy. You know everything about us. You know what goes on in our thinking. You know all about the times when we've not done what we thought we should do. And Lord, I want to thank you that there's forgiveness and there's fresh starts. And I want to pray, Lord, that we'll grab hold of those fresh starts, if that's what we need this morning. And Lord, that we will really be serious about being like little children, in order that we can be the people that they imitate, that they look to. Will you help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.